So thankful for you to be here tonight. We talk about giving thanks. In America, Thanksgiving is more of a religious holiday than it is around the world. And so we're so thankful for all the things that God has done for us. And I just want to tell you, if I can be open and honest, in 2018, I'm so thankful that God gave us a bird be gone. And for those that were around back then, know exactly what that was for. That was on Thanksgiving 2018 that happened. And we won't rehash that. We're just, thank you, Lord Jesus. And it continues to bless us. That's like the Lord's blood. It continues to bless us even today. But when we talk about Thanksgiving, not everybody is thankful. Not every person is thankful. Not every nation is thankful, especially to God for what He has given to them, especially to God for His goodness for them. In Japan, they have what's called a labor Thanksgiving. They don't celebrate it as a religious holiday. The Encyclopedia Britannica says, Japanese Thanksgiving, unlike America, is not really religious-based. Instead, it is a public national holiday that honors the hard work of laborers. It's more like we have like Labor Day for us. It's more like Labor Day, but it's a day of Thanksgiving for them. And so they celebrate that. Matter of fact, that was established as far back as 600 AD in Japan, and it was to celebrate the hard work that they had done out into the rice fields to produce a crop, and so they were thankful for it. Germany doesn't have a Thanksgiving like we do, but it's more of a harvest thank festival. And so, I don't know the image of a cornucopia. Next slide, please, Steve. So, you know the cornucopia? Its origins date all the way back to Roman and Greek mythology, and I don't exactly know where it come from as far as the idea. Either Zeus broke off a horn of a goat man, which is a satyr, or it was Hercules. The story in fiction is told differently, and so they ripped the horn off of a goat man and put fruit and grain in it, and so it was given to somebody with stuff. And so the word cornucopia comes from the Latin word cornu, which means horn, and copia, which means plenty. The cornucopia is also known as the horn of plenty. And so this is where we get that from. The Germans, they used to take the goat horns and they would fill it with grain and fruit, and they would give it to folks throughout their harvest festival. And they brought that to North America with that tradition, and we have the cornucopia here in America as well. The Dutch, who helped settle America back in the day, 40% of the adults on the Mayflower were of the Netherlands, and during the first Thanksgiving that come over around 1621, and so they had brought their traditions as well. Like America, the Netherlands, they observe Thanksgiving on the fourth Thursday of November as well. But instead, the Dutch, they go to a non-denominational church service, and then afterwards they celebrate with coffee and cookies. One of the most recent is Grenada. This is one of the most recent Thanksgivings, and this is not so much for a harvest or thanks to God, but it's actually thanks to America. This is a very good one. When 1983, when we were in Grenada to help them after their communist leader had died, soldiers were stationed there and they began to tell in October of all the Thanksgiving things that are coming up in America. And so all the folks in Grenada were so appreciative of what the Americans were doing that they actually, on October 25th, they now celebrate a Thanksgiving Day. And so in that year, 1983, they were so happy and thankful for the Americans to be there to help them out that they actually took the American Thanksgiving and gave that to the troops, and it had all the fixings, the turkey and the stuffing. And how many of you make your own stuffing? That's awesome. That's awesome. Praise God for people that still make homemade food. Amen?
Amen.
And then there's those that like store-bought. I just like the easy stuff, so it's all good. So, when it comes to the American colonists, They didn't just celebrate one day a year. They regularly celebrated Thanksgiving to God. This wasn't something they just did once a year. Thanksgiving was a day of prayer for God for his blessings, for his victories, for his giving rain for when the droughts had come. And so Thanksgiving was a regular part of our country in its early inception. In 1789, George Washington said this. He said, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, and to be grateful for all of his benefits." And we should. We should be grateful for everything God has done for us. President Abraham Lincoln, on October 3rd, 1863, right in the middle of the Civil War, he proclaimed a national day of Thanksgiving to be held on November 26th. And that actually held up until the early 1900s, when President Roosevelt pushed Thanksgiving back to the third Thursday of the month of November to give the economy a little push to give you an extra week or so for Christmas shopping so that they could get out of the red and back into the black or whatever that is. Isn't that what Black Friday is all about? Something or another. But it wasn't until 1942 that it was issued a proclamation that the fourth Thursday of November would always be Thanksgiving, even though it's not the last Thursday sometimes, but it will always be the fourth Thursday of November. According to the dictionary definition of what Thanksgiving is, I love this, even still today. Matter of fact, I made sure that this was still up to date. And according to Merriam-Webster, it says that Thanksgiving is a public acknowledgement or a public celebration of divine goodness. It is the act of giving thanks, and it is a prayer expressing gratitude. And I think sometimes in our culture we have a thankless society, and of course Paul says in Romans 1 that this is nothing more than just establishing the unsaved. Unsaved are very unthankful. In Romans 1:21, Paul says, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful." And so we see the benefits of God all around us, and sometimes we don't give him thanks. And we ought to remember that, because we can get that attitude as well when we don't remember what God has done for us and we don't thank him for all of his goodness to us. In Exodus chapter 12, Israel established the Passover. God had given 10 plagues in Egypt for Pharaoh to let his people go. And the 10th plague was the death of the firstborn son of all in Egypt. And God told Moses to tell his people that you would take lamb's blood and you would apply it on the lintel and on the doorposts. And when the destroyer came, when he saw the blood, he would pass over that house. Next slide, please, Steve. What you may not know is that this is what's called hyssop. This is a plant used over there. And in Psalm 51, you see David use this as a cleansing, because this is his sin with Bathsheba. And he said, "Cleanse me, O Lord, with hyssop, that I may be clean." What you may not know is that back in the Exodus story, this is what they used to apply the blood on the door. And when the blood was applied, God would pass over the sins of those people. He would pass over with death. And so this was a picture of what Jesus would do on the cross. And this is what we do when we come to the Lord's Supper. We remember what he has done. This was to look forward to what he was about to do in the future. And Passover was done from that moment forward, when they, right before they left Egypt. And the Jews were to practice that every year. Traditions and festivals and things aren't wrong within themselves. Matter of fact, you can do, as long as you explain why you're doing them, as long as you know why you do what you do. Problems happen when you can't explain why we do what we do. In Matthew 26, when Jesus was partaking of the Passover himself, he instituted the Lord's Supper. And he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." And he said, "When you take the cup and the bread, do this in remembrance of me." Everything else that's done is more practice and tradition. Matter of fact, we were talking a little bit about this today. We always end our communion service with two hymns. I love you, Lord, and thank you, Lord. That's not in the Bible. We just do that because I like to practice that. Matthew 26, it says, when they had sung a hymn, they departed. And so I like to, by practice, to sing a couple hymns, to thank the Lord and tell him how much we love him for what he has done. We just reflected on that in communion. And so we just do this by practice. Paul said, don't ridicule somebody by a festival, a new moon, a Sabbath, what you practice. Don't ridicule somebody by that. We can do it however we want. We can pick new songs if we wish. But those are special to me, and that's kind of why we do what we do. But as long as you know why we do what we do, please understand that we'll continue to do that as it's honoring to the Lord. If something is not honoring, we should probably not do it. But God told Israel specifically to do this Passover year after year after year. And this is why. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 25 through 27, God says this. It will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you will keep his... that you keep this service, and it shall be when your children say to you, why do you mean, what do you mean by this service? In verse 27, he goes on to say, that you will say it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households. So the people bowed their heads and they worshiped. See, we see this worship became a part of Thanksgiving. When they were doing the Passover, it became part of Thanksgiving. Worship became a part of it. Listen to these verses. Ezra 3:11, it says this, and they sang expressively praising and giving thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Psalm 7:17 says this, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalm 9, verse 1, psalmist says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell all of your marvelous works. This one's one of my favorite. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will glorify him with thanksgiving. That's the whole purpose of a Christian, is to give God glory. And we give God glory by giving him thanks. And that not only become a theme of the Old Testament in those three things. Remember what God has done, be thankful, and praise him. Remember what God has done, be thankful, and praise him. Remember what God has done, be thankful, and praise him. And we see that all through the Old Testament and through the Psalms. And that become a New Testament practice as well. Paul documents that in many of his writings. As a matter of fact, Ephesians 5, 18 through 20, he says this, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 to say this, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and builded up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. Paul says in verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body, and be thankful. Verse 16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Our whole purpose is to give God glory, we know, by worship and by praise and an expression of thanksgiving. This should be our Christian life's attitude. This should be how we live our daily lives. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, Paul says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in all of life's circumstances, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Which takes me back to our Thanksgiving around the world. Japan, they gave thanks for labor. We should give thanks to God for those that work hard, for those that take care of their families, establish a good economy. I'm prayerful. This is great. I'm prayerful that we're going to have a good economy again. But you know what? No matter what, even in a bad economy, we still have plentiful jobs and people make good money. Amen? I think we should be thankful for actually what we have. We are the richest nation in the world still. And don't Google me on that. Don't fact check me. But China has surpassed us by GDP per capita because they got a lot more people than we do. But we are still the richest nation by GDP per capita in the world. And since we are richer than any nation, we should have more reason to give thanks for God's goodness. We have an abundance. Thanks for the cornucopia, the horn of plenty, like the Germans use. Paul says in Philippians 4:19, the NLT says it this way, and this is the same God who takes care of me. He'll supply all of our needs from his glorious riches, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus. We've been given freedom in Christ, Romans 6:7. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. The power not to sin and give God glory in that is the greatest thanks that we can have. Like Grenada, we too have the victory. In John 11:25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. That's the greatest hope that we have in this life. Isaiah 25:8 says this, he will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears. That day is coming. That day is coming. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. We sang the hymn, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. I love that hymn. We are rich with abundance. We have freedom. We have victory. And we have so many reasons that we should have an expression of thanks. We should never lose that expression. And that's what we've come here tonight to do. We've come here to remember what our Lord and Savior has done for us, and we've come to be thankful. In Psalm 18:2, it says this, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold.